the other side of that ridge, he pointed, datavising the map image to them. Ariadne, can the hovercraft take it? She focused her optical sensors on the rolling land which skirted the mountains. Shouldn't be a problem. The grass is a lot shorter here than the savannah, and there isn't much stone about. When she looked west, she could see another three of the dark towers sticking out of the bleak countryside. They were all in shadow. Thick, black rain clouds were surging towards them along the side of the mountains. The wind had freshened appreciably since they had left the jungle. Looking back to the north, she could see the red cloud over the Qualheim forging the entire northern horizon. It was almost edge-on. They had climbed steadily since leaving it behind. The sky above it was a perfect, unblemished blue. Kelly felt the first smattering of the drizzle on her bare arms as she clambered back into the hovercraft. She dug into her cylindrical kit bag for a cagoule. Her burnt armor suit jacket had been left behind in the jungle. In that state, it wouldn't have been any use anyway. "I'm sorry," she told Sean Wallace as he sat beside her. "I've only got the one, and the others don't need them." "Ah, now, don't you go worrying yourself over me, Miss Kelly," he said. The jumpsuit he wore turned a rich indigo, then the fabric became stiffer. He was wearing a cagoule which was identical to the one in her hands, right down to the unobtrusive Collins logo on the left shoulder. "There, see? Old Sean can look after himself." Kelly gave him a flustered nod, thankful her memory cell was still recording, and hurriedly struggled into her own cagoule as the warm drizzle thickened. "What about food?" she asked the Irishman, as Theo goaded the hovercraft over the summit of the river bank and started off towards the Tyraska village. "Don't mind if I do, thanks. Nothing too rich, mind you, not for me. I likes me pleasures simple." She dug round in the bag and found a bar of tarret-flavoured chocolate. None of the mercenaries had brought any food. With their metabolisms, they could graze off the vegetation indefinitely, potent intestinal enzymes breaking up anything with proteins and hydrocarbons. Sean Wallace chewed in silence for a minute. "That's nice," he said. "Reminds me a little of bilberries on a cold morning." And he grinned. Kelly found she was smiling back at him. The hovercraft moved a lot slower over the land than on water. Cairn-like clusters of weather-smoothed stone and sudden pinched gullies made the pilot's task a demanding one. The rain, which was now a solid downpour of heavy grey water, added to the difficulty. Pat had sent Octon northward to avoid the worst of the deluge. Back out on the savannah it was still dry and sunny, a buffer zone between nature and supernature. Razor dispatched Fenton and Ryle to survey the ground ahead. Lightning began to spear down. "I think I prefer the river," Jalal said glumly.
"Ah, Mr. Jalal, buck up now. This is nothing for Lalonde," Sean Wallace said. "A little shower, that's all. It was much worse than this before we returned from beyond."
Jalal ignored the casual reference to the power of the possessed. Sean Wallace, he thought, was playing a subtle war of nerves against them, sowing the seeds of doubt and despondency. "Hold it," Razor datavised to Theo, and Sal Young, who was piloting the second hovercraft. "Deflate the skirts." The hovercraft sank onto their hulls with flagging whines, crushing the sturdy grass tufts, settling at awkward angles. Rain had reduced visibility to less than 25 meters, even with enhanced sight. Kelly could just make out Ryle up ahead. The hound was shifting about uneasily in front of a big, sandy-browned boulder. Razor took off his magazine belt and left the TIP carbine he'd been carrying with it. He hopped over the gunwale and started to trudge towards the restive animal. Kelly had to wipe a slick film of water from her face. The rain was worming its way round her cagoule hood to run down her neck. She toyed with the idea of putting on her shell helmet again, anything to stop this insidious, clammy invasion. Razor stopped 5 meters short of the brown lump and slowly opened his arms, rain dripping from his grey-skinned fingers. He shouted something even Kelly's studio-grade audio discrimination program couldn't catch above the wind and rain. She squinted, the rain suddenly chilling inside her T-shirt. The boulder rose up smoothly on four powerful legs. Kelly gasped. Her Confederation generalist didactic memory identified it immediately. A soldier cast Tyraska.